Well, that is it for today's broadcast of Church and State with Stephen Cox. Again, like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter at Magnifica Media, or follow me on Twitter at Stephen Cox, STEPHENKOKX. As always, if you have questions, comments, concerns, send me an email, SKOKX1@gmail.com. If you'd like to come on the show, or you'd like a specific topic to be addressed, do let me know, and I'll do my best to make that a reality. But until next time, here's Tyler Nethercutt with his last word.
The war against the Protestant definition of love and the kumbaya mentality. That's my last word for this week. An article was posted by some woman named Jackie Lambert, and the title says, "Straight Conservative Preacher's Wife Drops a Transgender Truth Bomb That Nobody Saw Coming." I'm going to break that article down and why it is one of the most preposterous things that I've read in many weeks. First point, Mrs. Jackie Lambert says, "The conservative right has started a movement to boycott Target, and the liberal left is living in renewed determination to hate the, quote, homophobic Christian community. So glad that we can all get along." Mrs. Lambert starts her article by talking about, or rather espousing, a kumbaya mentality. This noxious mentality, which has spread from Protestantism into the post-conciliar church, espouses an ideology that all that matters is peace, love, and harmony. You may have heard something like that come from the lips of Pope Francis in the last few years. When did Christ ever say this? He said he came to bring peace, not the sword. He said that we would be persecuted if we follow him. He said that no slave is greater than his master. He said that we would be blessed by Almighty God when the world hates us. I think I'm on pretty solid ground when I say that nobody represents the world more than the transgender community and those who support them. She goes on with her next point to say that Target is no more liberal today than they were a month ago before this policy became public, and for that reason, we shouldn't stop shopping there if we used to shop there. Well, maybe that's true. Target is very liberal. But there is a difference between waging war against those who are most frontline vocal advocates for evil versus those who are more silent. You always attack those who are doing the most damage, and there is a difference between public sin versus private sin. In this case, I would say that a boycott against Target is more of a defensive maneuver if they are going to be this loud about their new absurd liberal agenda. Target, you're going to reap what you sow. From a purely economic perspective, I, as well as all the other Americans in this country, have a free choice where we want to spend most of our pennies. Why would I choose to continue to support Target, who's leading this charge and starting this new trend of letting, you know, men go into women's restrooms and vice versa? Why would I continue to support them when I have countless other less vocal options? Next point, Mrs. Lambert says that she also believes that those boycotting Target need to also avoid a whole host of other companies such as Amazon, Apple, Microsoft, AT&T, Disney, and she lists like 15 others. Okay, point well taken. And actually, maybe that's true. My wife and I try not to support Disney. They're downright evil. They've been having gay days since the early 90s or maybe before that. I know a whole bunch of Catholics who do still support them and who let their kids watch their movies. We don't trust their programming, and we certainly won't trust it for our children. Between Microsoft and Apple, it gets a little bit harder. Maybe we can buy an Acer Chromebook or some other option. You have to really do your research. It's hard. You need to be very prudent about where you spend your money and who you're supporting. The bottom line is that we do, in fact, have a huge responsibility to combat this evil and evil corporations, even to the point of inconvenience and sacrifice, if it means standing up for what is right, and if it means that we have options. Otherwise, the devil's already won. No resistance, easy victory. Devil's laughing. Mrs. Lambert must have missed all the passages in the Bible when it says that we're called to put on the armor of Christ and not to go, or rather to go to war against the principalities and powers of darkness. Next point she outlines, she says that she likes to support companies like Hobby Lobby and Chick-fil-A who stand up for, quote, Christian principles, but she believes that evil organizations should have the same rights, and that if we don't agree, we are hypocrites. This is precisely why religious liberty is one of the most deceptive evils of our time. Error does not have the same rights as truth, and it never has. Enemies of Christ want to say that it does, but any faithful Christian knows otherwise. Rejecting and combating error in no way makes us hypocrites. In fact, it makes us Christians. Mrs. Lambert has been reading a really poorly translated version of the Gospels if she believes that we're supposed to just go along with the flow. Jesus flipped over tables. She must not remember that part. Next point. She says that transgendered people have never hurt her children, but straight people in her church have. I don't even know what to say to that, other than, so what? That's clearly fallacious reasoning. Moving on. Next point. She says perverts will always find a way to be perverts with or without this new policy from Target. Yeah, but this policy makes it so much easier to be perverts. Based on her logic, we should just get rid of every law which prevents crime because criminals will always find a way to be criminals. Let's make drugs legal because addicts will always find a way. Let's make public fornication legal because voyeurs and exhibitionists will always find a way. Mrs. Lambert needs to slow down, think, and pray a little bit more before she puts her fingers to a keyboard because this argument is really, really bad. Final point she makes, the one that she labels as the big one, is actually three separate points. Point number one. She calls a boycott in public a public temper tantrum. She then says that Christians are supposed to be Christ's hands and feet and that those boycotting Target are fueled by hatred. Wow! Mrs. Lambert says multiple times that she's a Bible believer who reads her Bible often and believes every word of it. I have not found a single verse in the Bible, which I have also read many times, which advocates for the tolerance of sin. Bishop Fulton Sheen said it best, tolerance applies only to persons, never to principles. Intolerance applies only to principles and never to persons. This is commonly referred to as love the sinner, hate the sin. I will never take my discretionary dollars to a place that leads the charge against Christian morals. Never. I just assume live in a shed with my family before giving those organizations my money, if that's the only choice that I had. And this brings up an interesting aside. In the first part of Mrs. Lambert's article, she says that she has four children, children for whom she would start World War III to keep them safe. It was a weird comment, but she wrote it. Apparently, she only fears for their bodies and not for their souls, because she's willing to start a physical war to keep them physically safe, but not a holy war to keep them spiritually safe from the rapid spread of liberalism. She missed the verse that says we ought not to fear him who can only harm the body, but rather him who can cast body and soul into hell. The second of her final points, she says, do you really think that this boycott is going to grow your church next Sunday? Do you think that this display of Jesus is going to make the lost think, oh yes, I want what they have, they're such a loving bunch? It's not about numbers. Not for true Christians, anyway. Our Lord said that those who are saved would be few. Maybe those who have to rely on money from the size of their congregation as a preacher's wife, maybe numbers matter for them, but not for those who truly serve God and not mammon. Christ said how few would follow him. When most rejected his teaching on the Eucharist in John chapter 6 and left, he did not chase after them. Instead, he turned to those few chosen disciples whom he had handpicked and asked them what they would do. And they stayed, because they loved him and they knew they had nobody else to go to. If someone rejects the truth and they want to persist in sin, that is their choice and it is their life. And they will unfortunately suffer eternally regretting it in the next life. Final point, number 3. She says, quote, instead of a boycott, shouldn't they know us by our love? Wouldn't there be a better chance that they might say, oh, they aren't throwing stones at me, maybe they do have something different to offer? No, they won't think that. I know what you're getting at, Mrs. Lambert. I do. You're saying that we shouldn't cast the first stone, that we need to love and we shouldn't condemn. Your intention, I have to hope and believe, is a pure intention. But it is a severely misguided one. Due to your Protestant doctrine. Love, again, is not tolerance of error. It's not anywhere in the Bible. Love is giving of oneself to others in spite of their refusal to reciprocate that love. And that's how they can be transformed. It's through meekness, through humility, through patience. But there also comes a time when you admonish someone sufficiently, once and twice, and you walk away from them Our Lord sent his disciples out two by two and said, "Whoever will not hear you does not hear me. Shake the dust from your feet." St. Paul wrote to Titus that a heretic, once admonished twice, is judged by his own public heresy and ought to be rebuked and left to his own devices. Romans chapter 1, that he will turn those who persist in sins of the flesh over to their own wickedness because they reject him. Love does not mean accompanying people who live in sin along the way with a smile in their sodomitical lifestyles. That is not love. So that's it. That's my last word for this week. It's a reminder that we are at war, dear faithful brethren. The assaults of the enemy are strong as ever, and his plans are rapidly advancing and unfolding. Do not waver. Be courageous and do the right thing and stand firm. Not only is the left waging war and trying to promote their agenda, but so too people from the supposed right would like to make you feel like an enemy and an outcast for trying to defend Christ and his doctrine and his holy faith. Watch and pray. God love you.
All right. God bless you, Tyler, and God bless everyone who's listening to this show. We'll continue to pray for you, pray for me, pray for the Society of St. Pius X, pray for those who are going to be ordained in the coming weeks. Have a fantastic weekend. Take care and God bless.